Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you. Yeah, they were talking about first winter, second winter. It's like third winter. Like that's what we call our third day of winter, and then it's spring. So we have hot, hotter, not as hot, hot, hotter. That's what it's like in Pearland, Texas. It's my home. That is a suburb of Houston. This is my second time to visit Duluth. The other time I was here was in January. So I think I have a lot of bravery in my life. It's so good to be with you. Really an honor. I just want to tell you, you have a remarkable church. The generosity of your church has been a blessing to us and our community. I was looking at some photos a few years ago. Michael and Brenda came and spent a weekend with us, invested in our leadership team, preached our weekend service. And I was so thankful that there are churches in the Vineyard who are willing to share their leaders. 2 weeks ago, I was commissioned as the lead pastor at the Vineyard Church in Pearland, and I had a chance to just tell our church kind of, in that time, in that commissioning, they prayed over me, and they talked about how generosity begets generosity, and so last week, I told our church that I was going to be here, and it was a chance for us to reciprocate generously the way you had to us, and so I just want you to know, relationships are so important, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I've titled the talk, I Can Relate. And part of the reasons I've titled that is I hope that in the end of our time today, you leave here more confident that you are somebody that God is inviting to be the kind of person that will relate well to others, that you can relate. I also hope that in our time, we'll discover that actually there are things in your story I can relate to, and maybe there are things in my story that you can relate to, and we'll kind of go like, hey, I can relate. Oh, see, you're waking up this morning. This is good. This is good. I was thinking about being just a chance to share some of my story. I was born and raised in Texas. You want to just say, howdy, y'all?
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, that's not how we talk. We just say hi. But, you know, there's that nice stereotype. I'm the son of Bob and Linda. I'm brother to Rob and Matt. I'm a husband to Lauren. I'm a father to Canton, our oldest, who's 9, Emerson, our daughter, who's 7, and Jaden, our youngest, who's 3.5, and runs the show. You can see a photo of them here. I know, I'm going to stop and look real quick. It's been a few days, I miss them. I'm a follower of Jesus for about 30 years now. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at a Vineyard church. I'm a neighbor. We live by people. There are people in our city, much like there are people in your city. I'm a friend to many. So the thing about my story, there are so many relational connections that I share. I'm a boss. I have a team that I'm leading. Think about your story. If you were going to introduce, if we're going to just walk you up here and hand you the mic, how would you introduce yourself? As I look out, what I see is just an amazing group of people. All of you have stories, and what I know as I look at you, there are things about your story I do not know. Relationships that are going well, relationships that are an incredible source of stress, pain, uncertainty. You know, it's funny as you look at this photo, and this tells part of our story, but there are things in this photo that you can't see. I'll tell a little bit more of my story. I first met my wife, Lauren, when we were 4 years old. What? Like, that's crazy. Yeah, so if you have kids, tell them decisions in life early do matter. Just hold that over them, right? My faith experience started early. My church experience has been shaped 100% by the Vineyard movement. I've always been a part of a Vineyard church. It's kind of what I know about local church experience. When I was in seventh grade, my family moved across town from one suburb of Dallas to another, and we planted a Vineyard church. Starting a new school in seventh grade is the worst. I was so happy to get out of middle school. Some athlete. I actually was a Division I athlete, and as I was kind of experiencing college, I had a lot of chance to go speak to rooms like this and different things and got real involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I would often ask the room, what sport do you think I played in college? It often went something like this. Golf. Tennis. Baseball. Last night, somebody was like, swimming. And it just proves that stereotypes and assumptions affect the way we relate to people. Because I played none of those sports. I was a Division I point guard for the men's basketball team at the University of Texas, San Antonio. Go Roadrunners. Our claim to fame is getting beat by 26 points in the NCAA tournament by Stanford. But I've got a ginormous ring that I love to wear every now and again, and I can say I was there. What's interesting is I loved basketball. I played tons of basketball growing up. And what I saw was God use hopes and dreams and aspirations in my life to draw me more and more into the plans that God had for me. Things that I was saying yes to along the way, I watched God just kind of just gently invite me more and more into his story. I never thought I'd be a pastor. You know, I was the son of a pastor, and I always said, no, I'm going to go do something else. But as I pursued my dreams of being an athlete, and I got to play Division I college basketball, I saw God draw me into a kind of a place of partnering with him in ministry. And after I finished there, I joined the staff at the Vineyard Church in Pearland. And, you know, over the last few years, there have been a couple key things in my life that you cannot see in this photo that have radically shaped how I see God and how I experience my life, and honestly, how I experience the most central relationships in my life. The first is this: you see our kids, but what you can't see are the three pregnancy losses that my wife and I experienced in some of the early years of our marriage. You don't see the back-to-back ectopic pregnancies that my wife walked through and the fear that that brought and the uncertainty. To have hopes and dreams absolutely like coming to life and then just shattered in a moment. Maybe as I look out at you, if I looked at your Instagram account or I looked at your social media feed, I wouldn't see those things that are very near your heart. As I wrestled with God and his plans for our lives and him being the giver of life, like, where are you in this? My relationship with God had to adjust and shift. How I see God and who I know God to be had to move through a really dark and difficult season. It's one of the most shaping things I've experienced in my adult life. At the same time, I was getting a master's in marriage and family therapy. Spent about 10 years pursuing that, 7 of which was in private practice, working with individuals and couples and families, and over thousands of hours, people shared their life stories with me. And I came alongside and I sat in sacred spaces with people, hearing what was real for them, that was often hidden to everybody else in their life. And what that 7 years did for me personally was radically shape 2 primary things. One is this: people long for healthy relationships and often struggle to experience them. Like, think about your life. Do you want your life to go well? One of us does. Yeah, I think there's this thing inside the human heart that we go, oh, we would just love for life to be wonderful and easy and good. But so often what's common in a place I can relate is life is hard. Life has suffering and disappointment. And I would hear these stories. And as I walked with people through seasons of life and disappointment and struggle and discouragement and uncertainty, I became more and more convinced that the local church and the life of Jesus by the Spirit and the love of the Father is the hope of the world. We need a community to come alongside us, to walk with us, and we need a God calling us into something good and beautiful. It is in that context healthy relationships have a source and become possible. I have just found more and more and more that relationships matter. Relationships are often the thing that are like, if relationships are going well, our life has a sense of going well. And when relationships are distressed, our life is often distressed. Can you relate? I can. Healthy relationships matter. So as I reflect on this introduction and who I am, a few aspects of my life story, it's clear to me that relationships matter. In every relationship I've highlighted for you in my life, guess who the common factor is? It's me. I am the common factor in every relationship. And you are the common factor in all of your relationships. You can be the difference maker. You can be the one that calls all your relationships into health and wholeness. So as we journey together today, here's kind of the thought that I want you to hold on to. If you grow tired of listening to me, then maybe you'll hear this and it'll help you. I have some good stuff still to come, I hope. But, you know, let's just get the good stuff out there early. My personal transformation is the greatest gift I can give any and all of my relationships. And your personal transformation is the greatest gift you can give. Your willingness to grow and become a more vibrant person, a healthier person, a more emotionally mature person will change your relationships in a good way. Faith walking is a great way to discover this. There's an incredible invitation for you and for me to embrace personal transformation as the greatest gift we give to our relationships. So I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Peter 1. That's the text for the message. I know you've been in this wonderful series about just discovering like a way of life that actually works. And I think we're going to see that highlighted in the scripture today. It'll be on the screen. Maybe you like the YouVersion Bible app, or I think there's Bibles in the seats in front of you. I'll tell you, I'm currently discovering the impact scripture reading has for me personally and for my life. And so if that's something new to you, I would encourage you to consider how this might inspire you for your daily living. But let's read this together. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection. To mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of my favorite passages, especially when I think about healthy relationships. The thing that I want to start with as far as like one of the most essential relationships for us to consider and pursue in our life is that I can relate to God. I can have a personal relationship with the living God. I love what it says. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Is that how you experience your daily grind? Wake up feeling so powerful, ready to go. The living God pouring into you. Waking up thinking, I'm going to relate to God today. Probably not. That's not, I mean, I'm a pastor. I tell people I'm a professional Christian. Like, I have to work at this. I have to work at orienting my mind and my heart and my life every day to remember God wants to relate to me and I can relate to God. What I think is so essential here is that I can be resourced for all of my life and all of my relationships without looking at the person next to you. If you came with a friend or somebody that you love, care about, like, is there somebody in your life who, like, requires a little extra care and attention? That you need good resources to, like, walk well with? Are there people in your life that are a little difficult? Maybe they're three. 5, 7. What I mean is, life is incredibly demanding of us. Wouldn't you agree? When I was doing clinical work in private practice, I was trained in a secular university and kind of giving the best of what social sciences had to offer. And one of the things I realized is that if there is no God, the best option I have in life is self-help. And like, hopefully, kind of like being capable enough to like make it through all of the things I'm going to experience. And the thing about self-help that's a little bit tricky is that you are limited by you. Your imperfection limits your life. Your fatigue, your discouragement, your experiences. Like, the best you get is the best you have to offer. And I don't know about you, but like, when I reflect on my own life, that's just not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Yet when I begin to realize the Creator God, the one who spoke beautiful Duluth into being, don't ask me how, I wasn't there, I'm not that old. You can tell just by looking at me. When the Creator God spoke it into being, that God is saying, I want to give you my divine power. I want to pour all of my love into your life. I want to be a limitless resource for you and what you need. I want to give you my best. I move from a life that is self-help to a source that is no longer self-help, but a source that is the divine power and presence of the living God. Just breathe that in for a second. It will give you everything you need. If I live a life that is not connected to God, I'm forever limited by my own efforts, my own strength, my own capacity, and frankly, my own selfishness. My selfishness gets in the way of healthy relationships. My greed, my desires, my wants, I take from people more than I give. But when I embrace a relationship with God, it opens me up to a limitless supply of love. An anchor of identity that says, you're worth my entire life. I will give you everything you need. And guess what? I've got some precious promises for you too. I have goodness and glory that I want to pour out into you. It's available for you. Is this how you relate to God? The more we discover the reality of God in our lives, the more we will discover healthy relationships are possible. There's actually a source for healthy relationships, and it's the kingdom of God. So here's a question for you. Are you willing to receive from God? It takes humility. It takes self-awareness to be able to say, I think I need to receive from God today. It takes discipline. Let me tell you two stories about how this works for me. I love getting prayer from our prayer teams. I love it. Not because, like, there are literally days I will get done preaching and I will walk off the stage and I'll go to one of our prayer teams and I'll just go, hey, I'd love to get prayer today. You know why I love getting prayer from the prayer teams at the Vineyard? Because it is a place I know I will experience the presence of God. That's it. I get to come and I just open up my hands and I just go, God, like, I just want to receive from you. And I humble myself before the Lord. And I practice healthy relationship. Another way I do is I love worship music. It's a place I practice receiving from God. I put myself in God's presence. Do you have a place like that? I mean, this is like early on. Like, as an elementary school kid, I have memories of being prayed over by prayer teams and encountering the reality of God. Middle school, high school, college, young adult. In the midst of our deepest losses, my wife and I sat on the front row and wept at our church, and people prayed for us. And it helped me connect to the reality of God. Now, what's interesting is when I begin to realize I need God, I have to come face to face with my need for transformation. Because what I realize is I am not God. Good news for you today. I'm not God. Which means this sermon will be imperfect. Sorry. I love what it talks about. It says this idea of if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So no matter where you are on your transformational trajectory, there's more. Your transformation is a forever journey. Forever journey. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. The first thing we see is add to your faith. That's why I started with I can relate to God, as we're invited into a faith journey. And faith is about surrender. How many of you love surrendering? Nobody. It means we lose. Right? If you surrender the fight, if you surrender, like, but this is actually the invitation to gain everything. Add to your faith. When you step into relationship with God, it's not just like this eternal insurance plan that you like sign and then like hope. Like, this is like add to your faith. When you surrender your life, you begin a journey of transformation. And you're surrendering to love. Faith is a surrender to the love of God. And then you grow goodness and knowledge. You get to know God for who God is. The good and beautiful God, the one who is pursuing you, who's interested in you, who wants to bring goodness and mercy and his glory and his presence and his precious promises to you. You get to know God. You build a relationship with God. And then it fosters these characteristics of your heart and your soul towards self-control and perseverance. Don't we love those words? No, but it's about God forming his character in you. This is how we have healthy relationships. We model self-control in our relationships so that we actually have healthy, whole connections and we persevere through the hard stuff. Well, I have to be the kind of person who knows how to live with self-control and perseverance. And God wants to do that in me. That's what gets transformed in my life. In Jim Harrington's book, The Leader's Journey, he says this, we want our lives to change, but we resist changing ourselves. As long as all of you will change, it will make my life better. I'll get treated with kindness. You'll all have self-control, you know. No, we need to take ownership for our lives, be empowered in our lives to take control of our transformational journey. You know, I just did this marriage weekend, and well, the way I started is like, I'm not talking to your spouse. I'm not telling your spouse they need to change. I'm talking to you. Maybe you're in college and you've got roommates. Like, you might go, man, my roommates need to keep a cleaner house. Or you kind of go, maybe I can just pitch in. Like, I'll do my part. Friendships, maybe in your family. Extended family relationships. What does it look like for you to become the person who will lead change in your relationships? Own your own stuff. And just like embrace transformation. Just be willing to go there. It will be good for you. It will be so good for you. Poet Maya Angelou says this about the opportunity we have for how personal transformation will impact the way we relate to others. While I know myself as a creation of God, I am also obligated to realize and remember that everyone else and everything else are also God's creation. As I learn to relate to God, and I discover who I really am in Jesus, and I embrace my transformation, it will change the way I relate to those around me. I'll begin to see everybody else made in the image of God, being pursued by the love of God the way I am. Embracing God's work in me invites me to see God's work in those around me. Embracing God's work in me invites me to see God's work in you. This is how we experience healthy relationships. As I relate to God, as I discover the relationship within me, I can relate to others. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Relationship. And he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is why personal transformation is the pathway to relating to others well. As I learn to love myself in light of God's glory and promises and his power, and as I'm transformed, it gives me tons of grace for how I relate to other people. As I relate to others, I can be a gift to those around me. Wouldn't that be nice? Like if you're walking around town and everybody's like, oh, so happy to see you because you're the kind of person that's a gift to them. You're generous to them. You're kind to them. At one point in my life, my wife and I lived in this apartment complex, and it's a really big complex, and we didn't really know any of the people we were living by. And I just made this commitment. I'm going to smile at everybody I see. Yeah, I was that weirdo. But isn't it weird that I would be the weird person because I smile at everybody that I see? I just think there's something off culturally. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we just all learned to smile at each other? And so I did that. You know what happens when you smile at people? Initially, they are a little bit creeped out. But after time, after time, after time, after time, I just showing kindness and valuing them and saying, I see you. I notice you like being a human passing me in this real life that we're living. People would smile back. I was treated with kindness because I treated them with kindness. Add to godliness. The work of God in you wants to bring the heart of God to you and through you to others. That the world would become a more godly place because people are being transformed and treating other people with the heart of God. That's how we have healthy relationships. And it leads us to mutual affection. The place we care for one another. We value one another. We have friendship with one another. And love. Add to faith, surrender to love, be transformed to love. The journey begins with a surrender to love, and the fruit of the journey is love. This is healthy relationships. That we would grow as the kind of people that look more like Jesus and live more like Jesus, smile like Jesus. I assume he smiled at people. How do you do this? Like, how do you do this for the really difficult people? Like, that sounds nice for your friends, right? You're like, hey, you don't know where I work. You don't know what it's like there. You don't know the family I'm from. You don't know what my neighbors are like. And all those parties they throw and don't invite me to. Keep me up at night. I don't know. That's what it's like in my neighborhood. How does this work? A friend of mine sent me a devotional this last week that just really hit me. And Jim Wallace says this. We can use prayer as a practical way to pursue healthy relationships with others. He says, prayer breaks down the distinctions between us and them. To do violence to others, you must make them enemies. Prayer, on the other hand, makes enemies into friends. Prayer, on the other hand, makes enemies into friends. This is the life of Jesus. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. If you're experiencing a very difficult relationship in your life, a really practical step you can take is to just pray for that person. Bring that relationship into the presence of God and say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Reorient my heart to your heart. Help me possess these qualities in increasing measure. God, I don't have a lot of goodness in my heart for this person. Would you bring goodness? I definitely don't have godliness right now. Would you bring some godliness to me? The way these weave together is essential. Relationship with God, my transformation, allows me to experience the relationships that reflect the kingdom of God here on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth. Love and healthy relating are the fruit of healthy people. Love and healthy relating are the fruit of healthy people. Pursue personal transformation as a path to transformed connections. The more transformed I am, the better father I become. The more capable I am in loving well the people close to me, the better friend I am. Because the resources I need are being poured into me by the living God. And I have stuff to offer and give away. As we receive God's power and promises as the foundation for healthy relationships, I can relate to those around me with the overflow of God's life and God's love. I can relate to those around me. I have the best stuff to give away. So here's what I want to do. I want to slow down and do a practical experience of this. I believe God wants to interact with you more and more in your life. And we believe God speaks to us. The work of the Holy Spirit is God speaks to us and he gives us good thoughts and he gives us God thoughts and he'll bring things into our mind. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment and I want you to just think and reflect and notice who is somebody in your life that God brings to your attention, a friend, a family member. We've done this before in our church community, and what I want you to just think of who's one person in your life you could reach out to with a text and encourage them. If you don't have a phone to text them, that maybe it's somebody God will bring to mind, and you could write them a little note. Go put a sticky note, you know, on their desk at work. But where could you today take one step of expressing God's love for somebody? Cultivating healthy relationship. So I'm just going to let it be quiet for a minute. And I'm just going to trust that God will speak to us. And if this is new for you, this is actually a great way to practice. Just pay attention to the first person that comes to your mind. And we're just going to trust that that's like God bringing somebody to your mind that you could just be an encourager to. That you would just bless. So it's just going to be quiet for a minute. So God, we just pray you'd speak to us. That you would inspire us in ways we can relate to those around us. And I just pray for every person in the room, you would bring somebody to mind that they could bless today or this week with a kind word. So God, we thank you for the people you're bringing to mind. And I just thank you for each person in this room and the reality that you love them, that you want to pour out your power and your love, that you want to be their resource. And I pray that in the days and weeks to come, you would refresh promises in people's minds. That your glory would just surround them in the way they relate to people. God, I pray for strengthened relationship with you. I pray that people would discover their true identity in you and their transformational journey would be a journey of joy because they experience greater freedom. And I pray you would use this community to be a place that healthy relationships are fostered and cultivated. We bless your life and your work. May it increase in this place and in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to move into some ministry time. So Brenda's going to come join me.